Suppose I'm stating the obvious view when I remind everyone that the Christian home today is under sustained attack. That's not being doom and gloom, it's a fact. And all around us, there is evidence there that the devil seems to be having a field day in disrupting even Christian homes, causing great unhappiness. And as I said, the indicators are there that he has been considerably successful. I read once in one of the books that I was studying in preparation for a message, for a sermon, and it simply said, as the home goes, so goes the nation. Therefore, when the Christian home is under great pressure and under attack, and unpleasant things are taking place, and things are not as they should be, then so it would be in the nation as well. Some of you will have walked into homes and maybe you have one of these signs in your house, and it says Christ is the head of this house, the unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation. Those words remind us of Joshua's farewell address to those that he led into Canaan when he was speaking to them and said to them, choose you this day whom ye will serve. And at the very outset of 2021, that is something that you and I should consciously do. We are saved. We have tried to serve the Lord, but there's never a better time to rededicate our lives to him than commit our way to him than now at the beginning of a new year. Last year, of course, while many people say it's one that we want to forget about, well, we don't really want to forget about it. It's different. It was more challenging than what we've been used to, perhaps. But nonetheless, the Lord was with us. And the Lord was good. And we knew his faithfulness. I have mentioned there the Christian home being under sustained attack. And that being the case, there needs to be peace in the Christian home. You see there in verse 15, when Paul was writing, and we certainly believe that Paul was the writer to the Colossian church. It is a book that was written at approximately the same time as the epistle to Philemon. The greetings and many of the other indicators would show us that this book was certainly penned by him. There are those who will deny that, but we're not convinced at all. We think that it was Paul who was writing to the church of Colossae. It says there in verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Thus, the word rule there is a word which refers to an umpire. You know what that is? Whenever there is a tennis match, or you could say a referee, whenever there is a football match. And it says here, let the peace of God be the umpire in your heart, and therefore in your house. And I ask myself the question, my plans to do, to say, to be. Would there be plans that would disturb this peace? Because that's what's happening. And the peace is being lost. I want to say to you, and I was thinking of this just during the week, beware of false peace. You hear so much today and it says, oh, I prayed about it, but I'm at peace about it, and I think it's the right thing to do. I have a peace about it. When you think of Jonah, Jonah was blatantly disobedient to the Lord, and he got into the ship, and away he went in the opposite direction. And he had a peace about it because he slept like a log. And even when the storm came, the others were scared, and he was still sleeping, so he had a peace about it. But his peace ultimately brought the storm. So when you and I are wanting to know the Lord's guidance, and everyone wants to know that, or ought to want to know that, and ought to know what he would have us to do, we want his guidance, not something that that fits in with our emotions and time, and we can say, I have a peace about it. Well, that can well be a false peace. It was not grounded upon the word of God. And that brings us ladies and gentlemen, really to our text today. See, true peace will regulate all that we do. That will help the Christian home. It will regulate all of the activities of the believer. In verse 15, if you notice there, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are called. You see where it says, to the which? That's referring to divine peace. The peace that comes from the Lord himself. And certainly that would be the Lord's wish for you, Christian, in this new year, referring to that divine peace. There's peace there in verse 15, and also gratitude. At the end of verse 15, he says, and be ye also thankful. But we come to our text. The text is on the calendar we gave out earlier on. It says there, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, that's a very interesting statement. Because the word dwell there literally means be at home. Or to be found at home. The actual expression here, the use of the word dwell, let the word of Christ dwell in you. The tense connected with that shows that it is something that is ongoing. And the background to the word is this, of a man having a building, and you can understand the illustration here, a person going and buying a house, and inside of it is not what he wanted it to be. And maybe the kitchen's been there for years and years, and it's done, he takes it out and puts a new one in, the fireplace is not serviceable anymore either, so he changes it, and the carpets are threadbare, he changes them. Some of the bedrooms they need looked at too. The bathroom needs ripped out and a new one put in. And he changes, he has the means to change all of that. It's still the same building. But inside it's unrecognizable. And the Lord is saying here, the Holy Spirit is saying through Paul to the church at Colossae, you need peace in your heart and in your home. And here's the secret, let the word of Christ dwell in you. And let me change a whole lot of things. Of course, that happens when we get saved. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But you and I, who've been on the go for a while, we know that very often needs to be adjustments along the way. So, peace that we've mentioned, and gratitude too, and unity, whether it's in the home or in the Christian church, here they flow from a mind that is filled with the Word of God. Now, we don't have time this morning, but if you look in Colossians 3 and 18, right through to Colossians 4 and 1, and in Ephesians 5 through to Ephesians 6 and 9, you will see there that the result of being filled with the Holy Spirit is the same as having your mind, letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And that's what we want to look at today. A motto text. The title is 2021 can be a year of richness for you. 2021 can be a year of richness for you. And it is as we let that word of Christ dwell in us, be at home in us, come in and change the things that need to be changed. It's as that happens that the richness comes. And now there are several ways in which we can allow that to happen and the riches to come. We're looking here at the word, of course. The first one is this. We need to listen to it. We need to listen to the word. Over in Matthew 13, it says there in verse 9 of the chapter, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. It's not a strange little expression there. Well, you find it in chapter 11 as well. And you'll find it used time and time again, but one of the most outstanding places where I find it is over here in the book of Revelation. When the Lord was writing on to the churches there, he kept saying, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. For instance, in Revelation 2 and verse 11, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. They were real churches with real people, real problems, and real circumstances that were changing, just like our lives today. But they needed to listen. There needed to be that listening ear for the word of God. And when we listen to it, number one, we need to listen to it with a willingness, with a willingness to consider adjustments. We need to do that, folks. I need to do it. Maybe more than anyone else here, because I have the responsibility of speaking to you. To consider adjustments now. If I can stay with Revelation chapter 2, when the Lord was writing here to these people, he was writing to, generally speaking, now not all of them, but the churches that he wrote to, they needed to make adjustments. There needed to be changes. You think of over there at Laodicea in Revelation 3 and 14. They were neither cold nor hot, and the Lord shows his great displeasure with that. They were lukewarm. And it's very easy, I'm just being honest, it's very easy to grow lukewarm. And I just go along from week to week, and there's no real driving zeal there. And he was speaking to them, and he spoke quite sternly to them. He said here, "Because thou sayest," verse 17, "I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing." What an awful position. This is a Christian church. What an awful position to get to. You think you're rich. And all the time is grieving the Lord. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Now you're speaking here to commercially minded people who would know exactly what it was talking about. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. And the Lord would say to us today, if you want to be rich this year, and you listen to God's word, and God's word says to you, listen, things are not the way you think they are, and certainly maybe not the way they used to be. There needs to be adjustments. And I have to speak that to my own heart, first of all. When we listen to the word, we want to do so in a way that will have us consider adjustments, but also in a way that will help us conquer foolish pride. Again, we don't need to leave Revelation chapter 2 and 3. The Lord was writing to these people and is saying here, they have need of nothing. It sounds arrogant. And they had that notion about themselves that all was good and there was no one really like them. Even you take there back there in chapter 2, the church at Ephesus, who had been working hard, that's true, in verse 3. But nevertheless, verse 4, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. They didn't even know that their heart was grown cold. And it says there in verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. The word fallen there simply means heart pursuit forsaken. Heart pursuit forsaken. And again, the problem here was pride. It was pride. Human pride is always a problem. It can always be a stumbling block to it. And it is through listening to God's word that we can conquer that pride. Through hearing it, we consider adjustments, we can conquer foolish pride, but we can combat error. Plenty of error today. A lot of it's very subtle. But most of the error, whether it's subtle or open, it has the same effect of more and more taking people away from the preaching of the word. Because this statement that is our motto text today, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, that is key to your life. And to my life, and to living for the Lord. And in every aspect of life, this will have an effect. And it would have here with these Colossians, who were being the Gnostics, who were very, very crafty, were trying to bring in a mixture of their belief along with the word of God. And every time you meet error, or very often when you meet error, there'll be a little bit of truth in there. Just to give you an appetizer and to get you interested. But so much of it is a denying of some of it's a denying of the actual deity of Christ. Very much of it's an attack upon his person. And with the boys and girls growing up, it grieves me in these days that we haven't had the opportunity with Sunday school and our Bible classes and our children's meeting and just trying to do what we can. And the Summer Bible Club as well, because they're growing bigger. and they need to listen to God's word. So you today, Christian, and me, if we want 2021 to be a year of richness for us, we have to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. We do that by listening to it. Now we can't minimize its importance. We have to be willing to do what it says. And as well as that, let's not miss listening to it. And there's the invitation to be out listening to the word of God as often as we possibly can. We need to listen to it, but secondly, we need to learn it. This is another way in which we can let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. And Paul is writing to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Some of the words that he was giving to him are found in verse 15, 2 Timothy 2. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This, of course, was something that he had to do as a preacher, but it's relevant for everyone. Relevant for everyone to study to show themselves approved unto God, because it's tied in here. Look at verse 16. But shun profane and vain babbling. Now, a bit of that about today as well, in the country. For they will increase more unto more ungodliness. Is that not happening now? It says there, and their word will eat as doth a canker, or the word is the same word as means gangrene. Verse 18, who mentions two individuals who concerning the truth have erred. See, one thing leads to another. How important it is, again, to have the boys and girls learn the word in Sunday school. It's the young people, the youth. You never know from week to week what they're exactly going to be facing. But we do know this. It's good for them to have the word of God in their heart. We need to learn it. Right? The first thought here is accuracy. Accuracy, a basic knowledge. Can even safeguard against error. Even a knowledge of basic theology against things like charismatic tendency. And all of those things which are not in keeping with God's word at all. Sometimes we hear someone and they say something that we would totally agree with, and then in the next sentence it's absolutely not in keeping with the word of God at all. So as we teach the boys and girls, and as we learn for ourselves, ask the Lord to help us to learn to have an accurate and basic knowledge of the word. We don't know it all, and we never will, but to have an accurate basic knowledge to safeguard against error. There's the word accuracy, but then there is answering. Where am I questioning you this year? Over there in 1 Peter. These were very important words in 1 Peter chapter 3. Peter spoke, says in verse 15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You see the word answer, where it says be ready always to give an answer? That is the same word as our English word, apology. It comes from a Greek word which is not referring to saying, oh, I'm sorry, as when you would apologize to someone, if you bumped into someone in the shop by mistake, you'd turn and say, sorry about that, and you would be sorry, but that's not what it means. It means defense. To be an apologist. Tell us how. Let's hear you defend what you believe in. While again, we will never know everything. It's good to know what we do believe, but it's very good to know why we believe it. Why we believe it. Even regarding basic things like Christ being the only Savior of man and things like that, and just being able to answer. That's what it simply means there, an answer. And the purpose, again, is not to win an argument, but it's to win souls. Anybody can argue. Stand on someone's door and argue with them all day. Pointless. We want to be winsome. And we want to do that if someone asks us concerning, to give an answer concerning the hope that lies within us. And therefore we need to learn the word. We need to learn the word. We need to learn it. Thought of accuracy. Having a basic knowledge that safeguards against many errors of answering. But then there is the word allowing. You and I could ask ourselves today, will we allow the word of God this year to mold our lives? To help us to to change our lives in accordance with the Word of God, to strengthen godly convictions and scriptural convictions. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 6, I'll read verse 5, 1 Timothy chapter 1. By the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and a good conscience, and a faithful faith, from which some, having swerved, the word swerved there means to miss the mark. It also carries the meaning of to go on irregularly, the opposite to steadfastness. From which some have swerved, having turned aside unto vain jangling. And around us in the world today, change seems exciting. And so many people want to embrace it. And if you're under pressure, which sometimes you will be as a Christian, you love the Word and the Lord, and you love to perform worship and reverent worship, you'll be under pressure. The big Christian, the devil will see to it that sometimes you're under extreme pressure. Change will seem appealing. Well, may not have changed. Paul in his writing, if you even read the two epistles to Timothy, he was so straightforward and so plain in his teaching to Timothy not to change. So if this is to be a year of richness for us, letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly, we do that when we listen to it, we do that when we learn it, but we also do that when we lock it away. How do we do that? Well, Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. And when we lock it away in our hearts, and we know it's there, that can prevent us from shipwrecks. Now, again, stating the fact that if it looks okay, people generally very often think, well, I'll just see along. It looks okay, or again, the words I quoted earlier, I have a peace about it. Why have you peace about it? Because you find that peace in the Word, or because it agrees with your emotional feeling and state of the time. A huge difference there. You think of what the psalmist said in Psalm 73. We're very honest. This is a psalm of Asaph, the musician. Psalm 73. And he's acknowledging God's goodness in the first verse. And then he says in verse 2, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps, had well nigh slipped. And then he says, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He had saw it, the prosperity. He had stumbled when he saw it. And I'm not going to criticize him, because I could do that too. And so could you. But the psalmist here, he goes through a whole catalogue of the benefits that seem to be part and parcel of the life of those who didn't love the Lord. But then he remembers, verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God and understood the rain. Verse 19, as in a moment they are utterly consumed with terror. He remembered the word of the Lord, he remembered the faithfulness of the Lord, he remembered the love of God toward him. Why did he do it? Because the word told him. The word reminded him of God's faithfulness and goodness. And whatever you look at in 2021, you will see this. You will see the wicked seeming to prosper. And it can put a hand wrong. And in so many ways, it seems that while everything is on their side, they speak loftily in verse 8. Nothing ever seems to happen then. Their pride in verse 6 compasseth them about as a chain. They're in verse 5, even they're not in trouble as other men. Yes, bad things seem to happen to good people, and it can get you down, all of that. But we need to be like the psalmist, Asaph, in the writing of the psalm, who, whenever he got into the presence of the Lord, in verse 17, he understood there, and he realized that there's more to what you see. And there's more to it than just this line. You see, a wider view changed his judgment. He saw with his mind's enlightened eye to the end. And we read earlier on to set our affection on things above. So many things on earth have changed. Very often we can't do it. set our affection on things above. And young person and older person, if you want to be rich this year, we need to lock the word of God away. Not just listen to it and learn it, but lock it away in our hearts. And remember it whenever there's a challenge there. Remember, well, God has promised He'll meet my need. God has promised He will never leave me nor forsake me. God has promised His grace to me. All of those things don't change. But also, if we want to be rich this year and letting the word of Christ dwell in us or be a home in us and change things that needed to be changed, we need to love it. We can actually love the word, and that will again drive us to meetings. It will bring us to the Bible constantly to meet with the Lord there. Philippians 2 and verse 16 says, well, I'll read verse 15. He's speaking here to Christians, that ye may be blameless and harmless. And the word harmless there means not having mixed motives. That's important too for us. That we serve the Lord with pure motives. The sons of God without rebuke in the midst of crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. But I have not gone in vain, neither labored in vain. His desire for them here is this, that they would love the word of God. It would be, if you look at those verses yourself, a guide for their shining. It says they're to shine as lights, and the word means luminaries. You take the moon, it's a great luminary. It doesn't have any light of its own, but it reflects this light of the sun very well. Just last week, it was a full moon, and I was coming along in the car, and it was really full, and it was very nice to look at. And you thought, you know, how well it's reflecting the light of the sun. You and I can reflect the light of the Son of God. And we need to do that. But loving the word of God here in this passage shows us that that is how we do that. A guide to our shining, a guide to our showing in verse 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. He's saying here, I'm going to rejoice in the effect of you showing the word to others. And how important that is. A guide concerning your sacrificing. Look at verse 17. Yea, and if that I offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Christian, please do not fall into the trap of thinking you've wasted your time serving the Lord, or the time that you spend serving the Lord could be better spent. Couldn't be better spent. The apostle is saying here, well, if I be sacrificed, I don't mind. Doesn't matter what I have to do or what I have done, as long as the word of God goes forth and as long as you go on with the Lord. He's really telling them here in Philippians 2, you need to love the word. You need to love the word. Remember what Job said? Job was through the middle like a few other people did. And over in Job chapter 23, and it's verse 12, he says here, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That's a pretty grave statement. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. The word necessary in Hebrew there, it means more than my appointed portion, more than anything else. That's what it means. And we'd love to be in that place continually where we can say that. Don't let that matter. Let's love the word. We want the word of Christ to dwell in us richly. There's another thought here, and is this, that if we want the word of Christ to dwell in us richly, and this could be a year of rich blessing, we need to lean upon the word. The word is full of promises. Promises that are generally to God's church, but if you're in communion with the Lord can give specific promises to you. Now we need to look at the word with the mind, that we want the mind of Christ. And remembering that the two enemies of you and I being able to lean upon the word and to find the promises there and to claim them, there's two enemies. One is feelings and the other is human reasoning. Because you can find something in the Bible that just seems to fit in nicely. But we want the promise that God has given to us. And it may not come tomorrow. It may not be fulfilled even this year. But God has promised in his word he's able to do it. Remember he promised Abraham a son. And it says concerning Abraham, even though he was 99, he staggered not. The word staggered there means was not at strife within himself. Christians in strife within themselves, frustrated. What we want to do really is lean upon the Word, finding Him in His Word to be sufficient. Martin Luther, he said, I never really knew the value of the Word of God until I came into affliction. Been a difficult year, 2020, in many ways. Many Christians disappointed. Some in despair. Doesn't it have good to have the Word of God to lean upon? And as we are out now into another year, to remember we can still lean upon Him. God still speaks to His people. He still fulfills His Word. He still governs His people. He still gives us grace that is sufficient for us. And one final thought here, if this year is to be a year of richness for us, we'll find it back there with our text. We've already read the early part of verse 16, that the word of Christ dwelt in you richly. Then we read on, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Again, you see the word teaching there. The tense of that is, it refers to something that is going to be ongoing. Something that is ongoing. The thought is of encouraging one another. In fact, if you look there at the word admonishing, that is a word that means training by the truth. I mentioned back to preaching. Sunday school. Bible class. Training by the truth. But it's for me as well. The Lord wants to train me by the truth, and He wants to train you too. It says, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart. Singing to yourself. The thought here is of joyfulness in the Lord. And I do trust that as we look into forward to 2021, hopefully, on a human level, we really want to see change. Not just regarding the pandemic, but in the country, we know the awful need that there is everywhere. I want to see a change there, but I trust that as we let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, that it will be a year of richness for us. I trust that will be the case for all of you, and we trust that the Lord will give you that growing love for His word in the coming days.